Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Are Jesse Nelson and Mark Tauscher our version of Neil Page and Del Griffith, Steve Martin,
somehow
John Candy?
Somehow I'm not John Candy in that situation, though. And you would think I would be.
My interest
I'm
is
the
peaked.
Reasonable, like actually getting on time and everything else. And we got Del over here schlepping shower rings trying to find a way out here to get a meal.
I'm very curious.
You know, that's a damn rare thing these days.
We got trouble in paradise here,
about
Jason.
The travel arrangements to University Ridge edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app.
Golf outing up there today, too, out in that Beaver.
Yeah.
Beaver Dam.
Indeed. I went to that one year. It was fun. Great events. I think Brad Nortman filled in for you.
This is actually the first year I'm not at it.
You should have went.
It'll be even more successful, I assume.
Probably gotten there on time.
Yeah. Good one.
Streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free ESPN Wisconsin app. Your state, your teams, your ESPN. I'm Jace Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson has exited the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios to serve as chauffeur slash annoyance to the star of our program. So, Riley Yauch is producing today's show. Good morning, Riley.
Good morning, Jason.
And he is a Badgers legend. There's no doubt about that. He is also the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Jason. Jesse's out here on time, as usual. And we got a lot of legends. I just saw congratulations to all of the new Hall of Famers. I'm going to go through the list of the Badgers that are here today. Frank Kaminsky, GOAT, right? Well, I think one of the – he's definitely a Mount Rushmore Wisconsin basketball player. He's the five.
Made him believe, am I right?
Is he the GOAT Wisconsin basketball player?
No. Ooh. Michael Finley.
Finley wasn't player of the year.
I don't know about that, Jimmy.
Finley didn't get him to the chip.
I'm going Frank over Finley, and I know that might be – I think Devin Harris is probably from a career achievement. I've had this discussion with Jordan Taylor. I used to – when I was working out, and I saw the basketball team a bunch.
When I was working out?
Yeah. I was rehabbing and coming back. Jordan was a part of that.
Okay.
And I've always battled – I don't know who to put at the four. That's always been the battle line that I've struggled with for the all-time Badger.
Like the stretch four or
stretch
just the fourth
four because
person?
I have always been a big Mike Wilkinson fan.
Yeah.
I think Mike is tough, and you just knew what you were getting, and I think he had 3 years of, like, incredible productivity and maybe even a fourth where he played a bunch as a freshman, I believe. And then John Luehr, who was an awesome player, but it was a little smaller window. That was always the spot that I think I struggled as putting in my – and then you got Gosser, who I think just deserves to be – I'd probably put him as my sixth man.
So who's your starting five?
Oh, I got Finley. You got Devin. And then I got Tucker. I think it's between Decker, Wilkinson, and obviously Frank is the five. That's that four spot. You could put Sam at three. I want Alondo, but Decker is right there. Mm-hmm. I think it's between Decker, Lure, and Wilkinson as my four to kind of figure out who that would be.
Crazy that the guys that we love.
Who am I leaving out? Because I don't want to be disrespectful.
Well, Johnny Davis. Well,
no, Johnny Davis was really good for a year. Like, he was a really good player for a year.
So, isn't it interesting that the team that went to the Final Four for the first time since the Old Testament doesn't get anybody on that
team? No, Mike Kelly's
team.
On my team. Like, Mike Kelly's going to be on my team.
Yeah, okay, but he's
not
like,
starting.
He's coming off the bench.
Yes.
And he's the defensive spark plug.
I'm not here to besmirch the 2000 Final Four team by any means, but...
But you're about to.
They weren't number one in the country. They weren't a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. They weren't nearly as dominant as those 13 and 14 teams were.
They deserve a ton of love. And by the way, Mike Kelly is making that. I don't know if anybody else is making it from that group. Kirk Penny would be on my squad. I would find a spot for
him. He's running your offense for you.
He's going to be a player, coach, shooter
right,
for sure. Steemsma is somebody I want to find a role for him. He is going to block shots. And then you have to look back into that, you know, 90s, you know, Griffith.
Tracy Webster.
So it's a fun little thing to look at. I don't know. I think that four spot is the toughest one to find for the all-time team. And I think – a lot of people would say, well, Sam has to be on the starting, and I'm not going to push back. I think he should, but who are you pulling off there if you're going to do that?
Alondo Tucker was a great college player. There's
he was.
No denying that. And so was Michael Finley.
And you're not – Tanjay? I mean, Tanjay with the year. Again, I've always been more of a I need a – and in today's day
greater
age,
body of work.
It ain't going to work that way.
You're not putting Tanjay over Johnny Davis, are you?
No, I would put Johnny Davis ahead of Tanjay. But yeah, Tanjay's on my team. I just
got we're doing the bench now.
Yeah, we've got a deep rotation. So who else is on the – we interrupted you. That is my fault because usually that's your brand is
that's
the interruption.
What I do, yep.
Who else are the legends that are there at University Ridge today? And is this in conjunction with the celebration of the Hall of Fame class, which includes our friend – and your play-by-play man and Jesse's father that he never volunteered to be, Matt LePay.
He is going to be here.
Oh, boy.
You have kind of a who's who. Jordan Taylor, I just mentioned. Travis Frederick, who just got into the Hall of Fame. Bo Ryan is going to be in the house this afternoon. Let me see who else. Pavs, Joe Pavelski. He is in the Hall of Fame class and a... obviously very deserving. He's going to be a Hall of Famer in the NHL, too, which is always fun. Let me see who else we got here. Brooks Bollinger. Brooks Bollinger in the house. So
I think that's a guy we should talk to.
So the plan is, again, Molly is here, so we actually have producers that are going to book a guest, which is awesome.
Our Molly.
Okay. Frank, we're going to try to get Frank. I don't know when he's going to show up. It probably was a big night last night would be my guess. And we're going to get I've already texted with Chris McIntosh, the athletic director. Hopefully he's got a couple things he's going to maneuver. We're going to get him on so you can talk about the non-revenue sports and all the things that I know you want to get into with him.
Track facility.
And then we're going to see because Bollinger, I am golfing with him today. We are going to take it down. We'll probably win this thing, unlike when we played member guest a few years back. So that's going to be the plan.
Wow. A confident claim at 9:09. Brooks Bollinger must be one hell of a golfer.
Well, he wasn't when he was our member guest, as I told you. I mean, he played 60-some-odd holes in a 3 handicap with no birdies, but I'm not bitter about that.
The Redemption Tour.
And your handicap is still 16?
Yeah, 16 capper. Yep.
Okay. And what is Brooks's? Do you know?
He's definitely under a 5. I think he's probably a 3 or 4. He's got like 17 kids, so I don't know exactly. They're
how often he's playing.
So I'm guessing he's probably not getting as much golf as he probably would like.
So there was a name that was noticeably absent. Where's our guy Joe Thomas? Is he off fishing? Because he's a legend.
He's 100% a legend. He's in the Hall of Fame already. I think he's on like some all-time trip of just following him on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And he's also selling his boat. And
saw
my
that
guy,
too.
I got a guy for him. I'm going to introduce him, and hopefully I can broker this boat deal. I'm not even asking for it. I don't want anything. I want two people to be happy. One person to sell the boat, and the other guy to buy it.
Okay. Well, good luck with all of that.
Good luck. good luck.
And with your round of golf today.
So let me tell you this. I think if you're going to get, all hivey and itchy, we better get to Packers stuff because golf starts at 11. I'm guessing people will start matriculating through here about 9:30, 10. So we better get to it.
When are you leaving?
I'm leaving at 11. Okay. I tried to tell you that. You didn't want to listen.
Well,
so.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad about it.
So you're telling me that you're leaving at 11.
You're gonna get
Frank Kaminsky and the athletic director at the University of Wisconsin, Chris McIntosh, in as guests,
and
maybe
Bollinger.
Even Brooks Bollinger.
Potentially, yeah. Again, nothing's confirmed, but yeah, that's the plan.
Okay, well, then we better get to break. Tell us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
I'm trying to tell you, I will. It's the last day. I always get sad at the end of months. Because we've had such a good time with these reads, and now there's a new on the new horizon. But you have till 31st of May. It is there is no better time to upgrade your windows and doors than right now because Pella is offering 6 years with 0% financing. You can set up your free in-home consultation, and you commit to nothing at this point. They'll listen to your vision and suggest the Pella materials and customizations that will make it a reality. Again, zero financing for up to 6 years. Certain restrictions do apply. This deal, what is today, the 30th or the 29th?
Today is the 30th.
All right, you got till tomorrow, May 31st. Visit PellaWI.com today to get that 6 years with no interest financing.
So just so I know, since I'm not on site, thanks, by the way, to Molly for being there. I mean, she's like a star at our ESPN Madison.
Molly's the real deal.
Yeah. She's the real deal. So the fact that she's out there unselfishly efforting on these things for us is great. I am curious.
You know what? She had probably double the drive that my guy over here had. And she's here. Everything's set up. Everything's perfect. The whole deal.
I want to hear about this drive.
Leaning into the camera.
I don't know
shot.
If I do. I did the same drive, by the way.
Yeah, how did it –
guys, just to be clear, you did not ride together?
No, I'm playing – Jesse's not invited.
No, I'm
today.
Not. I'm not a legend.
Totally shunned.
Not a legend.
All right. I am very curious as to what the heck happened with you two on your way there. Plus, it's one of those stories that if it sucks and somebody walks up and is available like Frank Kaminsky, we can just cut it off and talk to Frank.
Oh, that'll
so,
happen.
We will find out more about the journey to University Ridge and talk to some Badgers legends in the process. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Metaphysical man, but I know when the stars are aligned, you can bump into a person in the middle of the road, look into the eyes, and you suddenly know. Rocking in the dance hall, moving with you.
Jesse and Tausch are live on site at the University Ridge Golf Course for the Legends Golf Outing with UW Athletics. I don't know if we've done a great job of celebrating our guy Matt LePay being a Hall of Famer.
Who?
My fake dad.
Oh, Matt LePay.
Yeah, your part.
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
I barely mentioned it.
I feel like we haven't talked about it.
No. We gave him he had his own Feel Good Friday when he got announced at the game.
He did.
That was a while ago.
What have you done for me lately? What are we doing
that's,
here?
That's the point.
You know what I mean? No, I'm saying Matt. I'm not talking about us. I mean,
he was on the jump around with Jim and Pablo last week.
I think at some point the entire and when Mac joins us, I'm not going to ask him this because I'm going to put him on the spot. But I would venture to say that the press box and everything else should be Matt LePay, whatever you want to put it, because
at least the radio booth.
No, I think the whole thing.
I thought the Tom Oates press box would have.
Oates can get his own seat.
He's got that at Babes.
He's worked for. That is really true. I just think the impact Matt has had and the amount of respect and admiration that you talk to any of the basketball folks and any of the football folks and the administration, and then what you see, and we bust Jesse up a lot, but Jesse reaches out, and the, you know, just doing the games with him, the amount of young people that he brings up to mentor, just to give advice and opportunities to, he is, you know, he always gets uncomfortable, and that's why I like doing this. He's just a great dude. And he loves what he does, and he loves this university, and that's why he should be in the Hall of Fame. And it couldn't be, it couldn't go to. There's a lot of great names on this list, but from a longevity standpoint and from an impact standpoint, yes, he'll always tell you it's the players, and totally agree. But he has provided a ton of great soundtracks to all of these great memories that Badger sports fans have. So he's the man. He is the GOAT, and I'm sure he's. Probably had a big night last night celebrating, so he's probably not up yet. Getting over here.
And this Hall of Fame induction is underway with a bang.
Bang might be a little too loud for everyone if they all had a big night last night, like Tausch is saying.
So wait, did you have a big night? You're a legend?
No, I did not have. I had a big night. It was just in a different format. It was more kid.
Baseball game.
It was more kid-related, yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, I did want to get to... some of the aspects of what the Packers did this week with their OTA practice. They've got another one that will be open. They've got another one today. It's not open, or maybe it was yesterday.
They got a Friday OTA?
Yeah, I think it was.
I would think Opa would want to get up to his lake house.
I think it was Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday this week, and then it's again next week. Okay. So we'll see what we get to see next week. I think it's Tuesday that we'll be at practice again, but I wanted to circle back to something that we talked about yesterday. And Jesse, again, hardest working man in show business sometimes.
Just not always on time.
You know what?
Don't do the Packers. Yeah, do the Packers thing.
I don't think it's going to be that good. There's accidents on the Beltline. Yeah. That's the gist.
Okay,
the
thanks for catching me up then.
Yeah,
Jesse oversold it in the text message.
Ambulances, and you just hope everybody's all right.
We'll cover it when Tausch is gone in the 11 o'clock hour.
There you go.
Well, if it's not good now, how bad is it going to be when Tausch is gone?
We'll find out.
Jesse posted the clip, and I reshared it along with the Hall of Fame information about our guy Matt LePay in a subsequent tweet, but... Your insight into the Jordan Love leadership piece I thought was really interesting because, again, you had played with two guys that they didn't always play at a Hall of Fame level. Throwing six picks in a playoff game like your guy Favre did was not ideal. But they had that accomplishment level to merit the leadership that was required of them. They also had the personalities to do it, but I don't know. You weren't there, and neither was I, for the early years of Favre. Did Favre have the natural leadership in, like, 1992, 93? Like, he was this young guy who had overslept for the team photo in Atlanta because he was hungover. Like, I'm not sure he walked into that role necessarily either.
No, there. I would say there is no way that when he came from Atlanta missing the team photo and all of the things that entailed – it was still Magic's team, you know. So
right.
You don't just get handed captaincies and leadership. It's earned.
You can appoint yourself.
And there, you can appoint yourself, and you can go out and do coin tosses. But to get a C on your chest or to have the team follow you, and especially as a quarterback, you have obviously a ton of but just because of the position and how important it is, you have all of that sitting there, and you need to be. Mm-hmm. You can't have a good football team if your quarterback doesn't lead. Now, that doesn't mean you need to be screaming at people. You need to lead in what Brett did and what I saw. I don't know how many times he gave any semblance of a speech. There'd be times he'd, you know, make a mention, but his whole thing was he was going to have fun. He was going to be engaged, but you just watched, and he didn't miss anything. Like, he practiced, he went about his business, and I think by the end of his career, I mean, you could tell that he had done 93 blast enough, and like I understood the OTAs, but he knew the importance of being there. And just like in life, showing up is really the big part. I mean, it's just a huge part of everything. And when you show up and demand that you're going to be there and have a certain practice, everybody else has to jump on board. That's leadership. It isn't screaming at people and, like, is it holding guys accountable and doing it? Yeah, that's another part of it. But you find your way. You find how to lead in your own authentic way. And when you do that, guys follow. Guys will, especially if you're a good player. And Brett, I think it was a combination. I don't think Brett was ever the rah-rah leader. I don't think he probably was even in high school or at Southern Miss. It was more – I think Aaron probably had more of the vocal. And Aaron was by no means a super loud, like, getting in guys. Like, he'd get in your face, but he wasn't, you know, doing the rah-rah and all that. It comes back to, man, the example that he's setting and you're watching and you need to follow or you're not going to be successful. And that's part of setting the culture. And that's the beauty of having these quarterbacks go back to back. And now Jordan is, they know, they've seen it. And they say, this is how it's got to be. This is what it takes. It takes what it takes. It takes what it takes.
Is the camera on the same table at which you're sitting?
Yes, it is, ma'am.
Because every time Tausch makes a point by tapping the table, we have like a mini earthquake on the video stream.
You're an emphatic guy, and sometimes you hit the table when you're making a good point, and it's a great point that you're making, and it shakes the camera a little bit.
Okay, great.
It's great. It's funny. It's just funny. I thought the people watching on YouTube might enjoy that.
I didn't say anything about it. Like, yeah, that's awesome.
I know. I didn't need Jesse to describe it.
I'm confused. What? All right.
So here's what I love about that.
What I'd love to do.
He's very happy with me today.
I'm not going to.
So what I love about that, though, is like, so Favre, I must have heard him say this 24 times during my time covering him. He would always talk about the guy. You remember when you were in high school and you had this guy, he was a big vocal guy on your team, and he'd say, these guys called us a bunch of cream puffs. And then he'd run out there on the opening kickoff and get knocked on his ass.
Is that Terry Bradshaw?
I don't know who it is.
Bad Bradshaw.
But he did not believe in that because he thought, what is that? That only lasts like a play or two anyway. So you can, my
that
point.
Is what, that's what I always say is dose. That's like, there's people that you, I'll hang out with in doses. Like a dose guy.
Why did you lean and look at Jesse?
Real close to me there.
Small sample size. You can't have a season where you're just running on high energy. Like, it's just, that's not sustainable. And it becomes tune out city. There were some guys on that year, and it was my first year in Madison, so I was just hanging on for dear life. But there would be guys that would get up, and it's not our house. We're going to be out. And we ended up like, I don't know, 4-7 or 4-6-1 or whatever it is. And it's great when you pick your spots.
Uh-huh.
But when you're living on that, it just becomes white noise. It has to be like when Gilbert Brown got up before the Tampa Bay game, after the year after Cliffy got, you know, knocked out and his hip got displaced. That was meaningful. Because you could feel it, you know. It's not just, you know, there's so much coach speak. And matter of fact, like Dav and I would always laugh, and we'd start yelling, because Chili, you know, he's Mr. Quotable. And he would do all this stuff, and we'd just start yelling it in Portuguese because we'd heard the same thing over and over and over again. And we'd have fun with it. But the young guys, and that's where you have to buy in. But you also realize, man, every guy, especially guys that have played, they have their ways of getting things ready and right too. And it's not always going to be, let me go run through a brick wall. At some point, you get sick of running through brick walls. Like, go around the wall. You know, go under the wall.
Have go over the wall.
Have different speeches. And yeah, I thought Barry Alvarez was great at that. It'd be different speeches and different ways to motivate. And it comes back to, don't try and be something you're not. If I got up and tried to be Johnny Rah-Rah every week, I'd be exhausted. And I think there's just players.
So would
that,
we.
There's players that I think they feel like that can sometimes be their role. And most guys don't like it. Most guys like it. If you pick your spots, great. But if you're always doing it, it just becomes.
All right, I want to get to some of the wide receiver conversation, and I really want to get to our exchange with Josh Jacobs the other day about him having to talk with the wide receivers after giving his opinion. But Jen, Gabe, and Chewy asked me an interesting question this morning that I want to bounce off of you, but I don't want to do it until after you tell us about another Badgers legend, Bucky Badger, and UW Credit Union.
I think I saw Bucky. There's a Bucky statue out here. It gets me excited. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. Doesn't matter if you're a whippersnapping freshman, if you're an old salty senior, if you're a player on a G&G, or if you're hosting a radio show, every you. Proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years, are going to help you reach your financial goals. People ask me, oh, T, why did you join UW Credit Union? Is it to keep your banking local? Well, of course. Is it the member-first service? Well, abso-blankin-lutely. Great perks like early payday. You get those checks. Take a picture. Send it out. It's a nice little perk,
too. Makes it easy.
But between us, man, I just love the state of Wisconsin. I love Bucky. You can't say no to that face. And if you love Wisconsin like I do, you can't just pay with anything else. Fandom will make you do crazy things, but, man, this makes sense. Become a UW Credit Union member. Get your Bucky card like I did. Federally insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions to apply.
More from University Ridge with Tausch and his buddy Jesse. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't ever see you sober if I'm breathing. Race it to the moonlight. And
Jesse and Tausch live from University Ridge for the Legends Golf Outing, celebrating the Hall of Fame inductees and Badger sports history. Any sign of any of your legends who might be joining us?
Nope.
Must have been a big night last night, I heard.
Wow, that's what I'm hearing.
Let me tell you something. I don't know about you, golf outings. I am still in COVID golf. I don't come to warm up. I prefer if they have that little donut in the bottom of the hole, so you just... COVID sucked. I think we can all agree on that. COVID golf was awesome. No, it was.
Because you never had a putt out? Or?
There's no warm-up. You hit the stick. You're in. You get to move the ball around in the sand trap.
You hit the little floaty thing.
COVID golf needs to, I don't know.
Why were we moving the ball in the sand trap for COVID golf?
Because you didn't want to rake. I don't know. There's some
wild times, Jason. Wild times.
Let me tell you something. Why is a lot of stuff? We want to look back at that. Wow. I hope those tapes are burned. No handshake. Oh, what a bunch of idiots we were. But that's a whole other conversation. Well, you guys were worse than I was, if we're being honest. I digress.
No, only one of us killed the handshake.
Yeah. But COVID golf.
Do you remember what you replaced the handshake with?
Nux.
No.
What did I replace?
You wanted like a point.
I do like the point. I still think that's not a bad idea. I think that's not a bad idea. Hey,
what
you.
Kind of a flick of
the hand? Yeah. I actually still, I'll stand by that. I think the point's a better way of doing it. Hey, Mal, how are you? Hey, Jelly. There you go.
The point man. So you actually made this point yesterday, and I don't think I yep'd you, but I'm not sure that we delved into it as far as we probably should have. And Jen, Gabe, and Chewy did. They made the point, and I think it was Chewy that said it, why is everyone so afraid to suggest that Jordan Love regressed last year or took a step back? We heard the audio of his response to that.
I don't remember. I know a lot of what he said. Did he say he regressed last year?
Because he got hurt. He missed some games, so
yeah, that
naturally
was the stat line
would be lower.
Yeah, when Matt did that, I knew I had him. When point one after my physical specimen line from him. But when you start, he missed the equivalent of three games. He's going to have fewer yards and fewer touchdowns, but his passer rating, all that other stuff, he did not play, and we all know this because we. On this program, we're as guilty of this as anyone, not killing the handshake, but crowning the quarterback. Because that nine-game stretch, the eight games to finish the regular season, and then his performance in Dallas, we weren't burnishing his bust in Canton, but we were definitely crowning him. And he did not play.
He was the best one of the top three quarterbacks.
He was. He was playing the quarterback position as well as anybody in the league.
If you look at the Dallas playoff game in the first three quarters of the Niner game, he played the position as well as anybody was playing it at that point.
Agreed.
In the most important game. So
agreed.
I don't know if I'm going to say we crowned him. I think we probably didn't let the sample size come. And I don't know what last year looks like if he doesn't, you know, rip his knee up a little bit and have to miss some games and play differently. And when he came back, he wasn't ready. You saw that. He struggled, and it was a sloppy game. So I do think we crowned him. I think we probably elevated him to a certain point, but you can only go off of what you see. And what we see is a guy that makes a lot of special plays, and he's still inconsistent because he's young and he hasn't seen everything. So I think he is rightly ranked right about, you know, in that 8 to 12 range. That's probably where he's at right now as the crow flies in quarterback tierdom. But he has all kinds of opportunities to jump and to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I think when you're seeing how people view this team and where they have them, there are a few pundits that have, the Packers are going to be in the mix. I hear a lot of, Washington, and some people are even throwing Dallas and, Tampa, the Rams. There's a lot of folks that are leaving Green Bay out of that mix. And, you know, Green Bay at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford, I don't know where their odds of winning the NFC are, but they're not in the top three. And that is a direct reflection. How many times when Aaron Rodgers was quarterback or Brett Favre, was Green Bay not one of the top three teams as far as
– You're right.
It just wasn't there. It was always, maybe not always the favorite, but you were right there in the mix. And right now I think you're in the mix, but you're on the outer. You're not in the mantle. You're probably out in the crust, you know, as far as where you're hovering when it comes to science. And with the Green Bay Packers, I think you're more mantle than you would be the core, or if you're on a crust, you're in the middle right now.
I'm sorry. When you start talking about crust, I'm thinking about your blueberry pie.
Blueberry.
Bringing so back all the COVID hits.
But I do think the point you made, and this is what I wanted to get to before, in case someone came walking up any second, is that you said that Matt LaFleur doesn't want to put any extra pressure on his quarterback because he knows the pressure that's on him. And Jordan seems to handle that fine, but I don't think he wants to add to it. That was your point, and that was my point then to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, because he did dodge the question by making a joke about my physical specimenness and then by talking about the stat line when it's a serious question. How much more do you need from your quarterback to do what you want to do this year? And to suggest that they don't need more, even Jordan Love would say he needs to be better, right? So it's not, I just don't see why there seems to be this.
Just wait a second, you know why. You and Domofsky live this. You guys don't want the heat, so you're staying out of the kitchen.
So the coaches don't want the heat?
No. You're saying why are not more people not giving credence to slippage?
I'm not talking about the media and what we're saying. I'm talking about why in the building it's so hard to acknowledge, hey, we need him to play at a higher level than he did last year. And you can even answer that by then saying, and I think he's healthy. He looks great. He's grown a ton. I think he's going to play at a much higher level.
The easy answer is just say, yeah, he is banged up, and I love the way he fought through it, but we're expecting him to even be better this year. That's
right.
The easy answer. And I don't know if that's – is that not what they're saying?
No. I didn't hear
they're
the second part
saying
of that.
It. They're saying, hey, yeah, he was banged up. He missed three games. His productivity not going to be the same. Genius, because he got three less games to put numbers up. That's kind of what I heard
he doesn't
him say.
Except he doesn't say the second part. We're expecting him to be a lot better this season. He did not say that.
I just thought that's implied. Okay. Is that not implied?
I suppose it
you
is.
Think that,
but
you think they're happy with him throwing the picks and in the big games? No. And a completion percentage? Now, you can say there's drops. You can't live in the NFL complete. What did you say yesterday? 61.5%?
61.3.
You can't do it. That's not a winning formula. And
even with 33 drops.
I'm not putting that all on Jordan, because if those drops come in, he needs to be in at 67. Yeah, that's where you need to be as an NFL quarterback now if you're going to be consistent. And that's what we're looking for. We all know he's got big play capabilities. He's got a lot of things going for him. He's going to have his legs back where he can move and do some things out of the pocket. But the consistency happens from guys catching the football and converting third downs and getting more plays. I think one of the things, and I might be amazed too, I don't know what the stat is on this. So I'm just like I was surprised by the amount of explosive plays. Where did Green Bay rank in total snaps last year? Because that's a third down. They had some long drives. I don't know where they lasted on that, but that's the consistency where you stay on the field. There were way too many three and outs. I do know that last year. Now, there were some really good 16-play drives, and they had some really nice long touchdown drives. That's the consistency where you don't miss on a third and six, and you don't drop it, and you keep the chains moving, and you get into rhythm. The only way you get into rhythm in this league is by getting first downs. And that's the consistency that they need to see more out of Jordan and obviously out of the receiving core.
I can't seem to find – I have total yards. I have yards per game. I'll work on figuring out where the Packers rank. They were over 1,000, but not by a lot in terms of their total offensive snaps.
Yeah, I would bet that they're probably in the mix because they had so many long drives. But I would think three and outs is something that they were way too high on the list. Mm. Of three and outs last year. That's another thing you can check. And another thing I'm going to have today is a refreshing Coors Light.
Look, did you just give me two assignments and then start talking about how you're going to drink Coors Light?
I'm not going to ask you to do it right away. This is me being a good teammate, giving you a little beat.
Is that what it is?
Okay. Take a beat.
Sure. You're welcome.
And by the way, I had some folks yesterday say, is Coors Light, you guys not with Coors Light? Oh, I'm totally with Coors Light.
What?
I don't want to misconstrue because I threw out a sheet from 5 years ago.
Yeah. You didn't throw it away. We need it for the Hall of Fame.
No, it's still scrapped up, but it's back at it's at my undisclosed location. But I'm here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. It's a whole new read. And whether you're tailgating pregame, this will be fun. Enjoying your experience during the game, celebrating a big win on the golf course or a game, and you just need a moment to chill, crack open that Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. It's brewed with that three-step cold process that I love, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged. So it's made to chill, and you know that is what I will be having out here at University Ridge this afternoon. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
The read was actually updated in 2023, but you just haven't
he never used
looked
the
at the new one yet.
I don't even know how old this one is, but look at how crisp that sheet is.
Yeah, it's a nice
piece
of paper.
I just want to make sure
it's from COVID golf.
I couldn't be more – like you guys know I love Coors Light, and I felt like after I did that yesterday, I was like, I hope that doesn't get misconstrued, and I think it did, and I want to just make sure Coors Light
– No.
We're in a great spot.
No. It's just the sheet of paper. Jens are – Coob consultant.
Speaking of COVID.
Oh, the Coober.
Yard games.
As an assistant golf course superintendent.
No big deal. Big promotion for Yenzi.
We generally loved COVID golf. No bunker rakes. Oh, so you didn't want to touch the rake.
Touch the rake.
Touch the shared thing.
What a genius move. Let's get that back implemented.
Leave the flag sticks in, no accessories on the golf course. Only downside was people taking individual carts, so there was more traffic on the course.
Yeah, but that could be, just put one of those. I mean, you had those plexiglasses that were like, that was the security blanket that you needed. Just fire up, put that up, and you're good. Right?
No COVID means maybe guests at University Ridge today. But then again, maybe not. Rolling on at the Legends Golf Outing at University Ridge. It's Wildy and Tausch. This ain't a good time, but when is it ever? I know the perfect time, and maybe that's never. So don't you dare leave me now. Throw my heart on the ground. Cause tonight ain't the night for sorrow. But you can hurt me tomorrow. Joining us now, live from University Ridge. He's a legend, and he's the athletic director now. And I have to ask, I've never asked him this.
Oh, boy.
I am very curious.
What's the deal with non-revenue sports?
No, stop.
Okay.
Just because, hey, we all care about non-revenue sports, including the athletic director, so stop.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
I've never asked him about you as a teammate, so I want to do that. It is Chris McIntosh on Wilde and Tausch. Chris, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Good to see you, Jason.
It's good to see you, too. I'm sorry I missed you in person. I was mentioning this today on social media because Tausch was really great yesterday talking about quarterbacks and leadership, and he was so insightful. But I had to mention in my tweet about it that this is the kind, this is why I think he's the GOAT at what he does. But at the same time, very, very, I know you're an avid listener to the program. Very frequently we get sidetracked.
He's a podcast guy. I've checked his phone.
Does soap clean itself and the like? What was he like? You guys have been friends for 20-plus years. What was he like as a teammate? Has he always been this way? Would you have conversations with him and he would take it off on a weird tangent? What has your friendship with him
been
boy,
like? I'm very curious where this is going.
Well, first of all, I would say 20-plus years. I actually think we've turned 30 now.
Oh,
if you do the math.
Well, 95, so yeah, it's 30 years. That's,
which is quite a statement.
Yeah, it is something.
Chris is eligible for sainthood.
Yeah. I mean, you know, listen, we had a really tight team in a room, an O-line room, that was even more closely knit. Tausch and I came in as freshmen together. Remember the freshman camp, the few days of just freshman camp?
I remember thinking, I don't know if I can make this.
Yeah, that makes two of us. Yeah. That makes two of us. And I think that's actually, that's probably a good taking off point, because I think there's a whole room of people that, at least the young guys, that weren't sure if we could make it. And, it was a room. I mean, I don't want to sound cliche or anything, but like, it was a room that supported each other, and everybody had their moments, plenty of moments of doubt. That's right. I know I did. But, Tausch was always a great teammate and a great friend, and went through a lot of hard stuff together, and, you know, had a great run and had some great celebrations together. And I think, as we kind of transition to what's happening here today, you know, we announced our Hall of Fame class yesterday, and the best part about it is to hear the stories, because none of these stories of success are linear. They all come with different versions of adversity and challenge and pushing through. We heard from Frank last night, and, just an emotional acceptance on behalf of the class, and, it was just humbling to hear his perspective. And I think, Tausch and I and many others on our team and in our room shared the same kind of experience.
Well, and what's great about it is that this place means a lot, and the whole thing, and you come back to lead the athletic department. But, Jason, when we were discussing yesterday the whole idea of leadership, Mac was a great leader, and he is one of the guys that it wasn't rah-rah and all this other stuff. It was one of the times where, he showed up, he worked, but when he spoke, and I think every guy on the team can remember, we had just gotten worked by Georgia in an Outback Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was ugly. And when Mac got up and talked, it was, I don't know how many times he got up and, he'd say stuff, but it was very rarely was it in front of the room. That's when I told you, the teams that have all these, our freshman year, we had 15 players only meetings. It's like, all right, we end up 3-6
yeah.
and whatever.
Yeah.
The teams that do all that, it's when you talk, and then it's guys are receptive to it. And he's talking, I didn't come here to lose Outback Bowl games. We came here to win Rose Bowls. And the last 2 years, that's what we did. That's more, and it was always kind of went back to that. That's where when you're, if he's sitting there saying that every week, you make the point, and then it's about going and actually doing the work and leading, doing the work. And we always saw, Chris was always going to be out there. He's going to work. He's going to practice hard. And I'm sure there were days when we're running 92 Bob, and it's like, oh, we got to do this again. But that's what it takes. The old saying, it takes what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it took.
Yeah, I think, there was a level of accountability that was created amongst each other. And, like, everybody's got bad days and days in which you're not at the top. And, I remember a day in the weight room, our good friend Weissey, who was a walk-on and a roommate, calling me out because he didn't think I was giving it everything that day. And like that, I think that's one of the things that were special about those teams. Didn't matter what where you were in the depth chart, what position you played. We held each other accountable and you know, from top to bottom. And I think that's one of the things that contributed to our success.
No doubt.
So, Chris, I feel like every time we get to talk to you, we're at a different point in this very, very long journey of figuring out what the hell college sports is today, right? I mean, we had Greg Gard on a couple months ago. We had Luke Fickell on about a month and a half ago. And they both feel, and again, there's still more developments to come, that they and their programs have a much better handle on what has so long been the Wild West of the transfer portal and NIL. At the top of the athletic department, what is your view of where Wisconsin stands in finally getting this in some way harnessed so it can be equitable for everyone and everyone's competing on a level playing field?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right, Jason. That, you know, every time we check in, it's at a different stage of what has been, you know, really an unstable and unsustainable trajectory or environment. And I feel for our coaches, not limited to Luke or Greg, for what they're going through. And, you know, a lot of the things that we have taken a lot of pride in and have contributed to our success, development of players that stick around in our system and on our rosters, you know, for 4 or 5 years has really come under threat. And it's forced them to have to evolve. And I think our coaches have done a fantastic job of evolving. I think, you know, what we're waiting on, and we've been waiting on this since April 7th, is, you know, a judgment on the settlement mm-hmm. of the House case. And, you know, I have to rely on, you know, the interpretation of the attorneys, but it feels like there's a level of confidence that it will take place, although it's not guaranteed. You know, I am very excited about the prospects for Wisconsin in a post-settlement world. I think it allows us to do a few things. One, it allows us to control our destiny more directly than we have been able to in the last 4 years, and that is share revenue directly with our student athletes. That's a big step. Two, you know, it will attempt to allow NIL to be what it was intended to be, and that's, you know, market-based name, image, and likeness opportunities for our student athletes. And, you know, for the last 4 years, there's been this proxy, name, image, and likeness has been a proxy for pay for play. And yeah, I think that's one of the things that has contributed to the situation that we're in right now, which, like I mentioned at the top, is not sustainable. You know, a new enforcement system, model, structure, single decision maker, you know, that mirrors many of the aspects of pro leagues. I think that's a great system for us. I think, you know, we found ourselves as an industry in a spot where there's a lack of confidence in the NCAA's ability to mm-hmm. enforce, and that has led to many of the challenges that we face today. So I'm optimistic. We've spent a lot of time with our Commissioner Petitti, and working through the Big Ten to help, to do everything we can to build a structure that, like you said, Jason, is more equitable and you know, gives everyone a more level playing field from which they can operate.
So how long is this going to be? I mean, let's say the settlement doesn't happen. You're going to have another year where it's been a little Wild Westy again. How long is this sustainable if the settlement doesn't go through?
Well, I mean, I'll stop short of like, giving you an over under on timeline on this, but I would just say this, like, you know, one of the things that causes me to believe that it's not sustainable is, you know, right now, the industry is being legislated by the courts, and that's not a good way. And it's, you know, it's eroding bit by bit, rule by rule. And by the way, there's reason for that. And, you know, that's one of the, motivations for us to go to Congress and ask for help so that we can set up, establish common sense rules, like, you know, how long a student athlete can compete in college athletics, try to put some stability
around. Stop having 15 portals.
Yeah, exactly. And right now, we're not living in an environment where that's realistic right now. And so, like, that's a good example of why it is what it is right now.
Talking with the UW Athletic Director Chris McIntosh on Wilde and Tausch. All right, so Chris, before we get to my perpetual concerns about non-revenue sports, since I covered every single one of them during my career, and I do believe in them, there's something else that I love about Wisconsin, including the knucklehead that you're sitting with, is the walk-on portion of the football team's success. And I was talking to another dad at one of Maddie's track meets, and his son is a good football player who is probably the type that both of his parents went to Wisconsin. He's not good enough in this world to be recruited by Coach Fickell and play at the Division I level, but he's probably
Send a tape like you did with that kid.
I knew you were going to say that. Hey, this kid could be a good player for you.
And you saw a guard like, oh my God, is he really going to send me a tape?
But he's probably like the baby-faced kid that walked in freshman year with you from Auburndale, where he could walk on and maybe have a chance to develop. And what his dad was saying was that in this new, with roster limits and everything else, that maybe the walk-on concept, he's going to start out at like UW Oshkosh, which I love UW Oshkosh, but he's going to have to, like, if he's ever going to be a Badger, he's going to have to work the transfer portal to get there to be on the three deep or whatever. Is that one of the drawbacks? Because from Jim Leonard and Mark Tauscher and on and on and on, walk on you has been pretty damn good at the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. I mean, I think that's, you know, Barry referred to our walk on program as the difference maker in our program. Just for a second, limit it to football, and I think there will be a place for walk-ons. I do think, though, we need, you know, there's no getting around. Should the settlement be approved, and right now the sticking point is roster limits, and so it's hard for me to try to predict where that's going to land.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there's a possibility that rosters will be smaller than they have historically been. And there's no getting around that. I think, you know, we want to recognize the importance of the walk-on program and how it has impacted our program historically and how it can in the future. I do think, though, like many things, you need to look at a little differently at the definition of a walk-on today, because and how that a walk-on might be defined in the future. Because I would just tell you, generally speaking, the guy I'm sitting next to today, if he were a walk-on today and on today's roster of 125 kids, he would be able to he would have more benefits available to him than he had in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And so if walk-on means no tuition aid, if walk-on means, like, there's variance along the way, and I think the reality is our athletes, and there are, by the way, I don't want to dismiss the fact that there are those traditional walk-ons on our program and in our school, so I don't want to say that they're not there anymore, but there is an evolution of what it means to be a walk-on, the level of aid that you can be on under the terms of the settlement. Football, like some of our other sports, would shift from a headcount scholarship, like kind of everything, full mm-hmm. scholarship, to an equivalency, like hockey. And so, mm-hmm. you know, there's going to be many more opportunities to support kids in different ways, you know, that many more than we've had in the past.
The tough part is everything now is so year to year that you don't have time to have a class of 25 or 30 kids that can't contribute right away, because mm-hmm. if you're going to limit your roster, and there is going to be the opportunity. So if I look at just at my own career back, I would have probably had to, if I could have went to a South Dakota State, and then you play for a few years, then you get a couple, you know, a nice little NIL check, and that it's just going to be a lot different. How do you see that from a football and basketball standpoint of recruiting high school kids compared to, and I've had this conversation with Luke too, where you have, now you have to have guys that are grown men that mm-hmm. can play immediately compared to having me and YZ and Grant, like a bunch of guys that it took 2 or 3 years to develop before he could play.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the risk that we're talking about in that, you know, a player that would have traditionally just entered as coming out of high school and had 3 years to develop and then begin to contribute, the risk being that player is going to go to a South Dakota State, yep, a North Dakota. Like, I mean, that is a real thing. I think it's likely, if you just focus on football, going to vary greatly by position. I think it will take time to understand how, from a rev share point of view, what makes sense by position. And I do recognize what you're talking about is a potential drawback, mm-hmm, and a downside. Like, there's no getting around it.
Yep.
All right, Mac, before we let you go, yes, I have a non-revenue question. I have a specific one and a greater big picture one.
Let me guess. What is your kid trying to play? Golf?
No, we're not doing that.
Okay.
No, right. Don't do that.
All right, I won't.
I still can't believe you brought up the film thing with guard. I hate you.
Well, let me tell you something. Greg tells everybody, so I don't know what you're talking about.
So, all right. So, Mac, we love it when you're on. Tausch will tell you that I'm a capital J journalist, so I have to ask you a tough question, so I'm going to. And I do it with the utmost respect. But how in this new world do we keep all the experiences of the non-revenue athletes continuing? And have you had discussions given the reaction? Look, I loved the shell. I have great memories of, like, Danny Jones dunking on me in a pickup game. I loved that place. We all have nostalgia of that place. It did need to go to create room for the new facility, but obviously you've dealt with some frustration from the track program. Where do you see non-revenue sports in the big picture of the new world of college athletics as it's continuing to develop? And is there a way to find kind of a version of that track facility that'll make everyone happy?
Yeah, I mean, let me start this way, Jason. I think, you know, I mean, Tausch makes light of the question around Olympic sports, and I think it's just important just to start from the top. Like, I don't make light about it. There are 20 sports in our ecosystem of our offerings that don't turn a profit of 23.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. That's how the model has been built. That's the model that I've advocated should continue on. I think there's ways in which the model can be equitable to everyone involved. So that's the starting point. I can't miss an opportunity to reiterate the fact that we take pride in 23 sports. We have north of 800 athletes today. Broad-based opportunity is important to us. It's part of our DNA. It's one of our core values. And so while I can empathize with many letter winners and future Badgers and participants in Olympic sports around the uncertainty and the fear right now, I understand where that comes from, because there are programs that are being eliminated around the, mm-hmm, country. That is not on the table for us, and it hasn't been from the start. So now, having said that, obviously the world is changing and we need to change with it. And so, you know, the construction of our facilities has been a topic that has come up, and specifically around the track. I think that the facility that we are going to construct will serve our track program well. It will prepare them to compete at the highest level. And we take a lot of pride in the fact that our track and field program, cross-country program, have been as successful as anyone's historically. And so that's something that we have worked on with McBurn, our track coach, and we've designed it in a way that will allow them to be prepared so that when they compete, they can compete at a level that meets our expectation. There are a couple of nuances, pole vault and high jump, that we have to find solutions for as we continue to design the project. But we will have solutions for those two events. But I think, you know, the idea that we, it hasn't met expectations of some, many within our you know, amongst our letter winners in those programs that we're not building a competition track. We're building a facility that will prepare us to be able to go compete, but we are not building a competition track.
Mac, we always appreciate your time. Are you playing today?
I am actually.
Okay. Well, make sure you beat Tausch and Bollinger, would you? Please take them down a peg.
You've never seen me golf.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like our chance. Yeah. There's a lot of things I don't like my chance. Golf with him and LePay versus me and Brooks,
yeah.
I like our chances.
Yeah, I'm not taking
Mac,
that one.
Thanks. We appreciate you.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
That is Wisconsin Athletic Director Chris McIntosh joining Wilde and Tausch. Tausch, can you handle talking about Quick Trip
we'll do it after all that, or do you need to go? Yeah, we're good.
Okay. Just wanted to see.
Yep.
More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.